Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? What's up, world? What's up, world? What's up, world? It's the day before Thanksgiving, and my name is Pete, or you can call me Petey Pete, but my name is Pete Richardson, the owner and sole creator of Say We're Not Athletes Respectfully. And right now I'm coming to you live out of the Super 8 Motel out in Lubbock, Texas. And right now the sun is shining bright. I tell you what, I'm sorry for you guys on the East Coast. I know you guys got some thunderstorms and some winter storms coming up, got some inches of snow. But right here in West Texas, the South Plains, Lubbock, I tell you what, it is nice. I'm looking outside the window. Got the cars passing by on the loop, and you could tell some people getting ready to go and eat some turkey. You know, it's 57 degrees, partly cloudy. We got a low of 33 degrees. But, hey, it's supposed to be a great day. So if you're out running, doing some safe traveling, last-minute traveling, or going to the grocery store, everybody be safe. Everybody just, you know, be safe. We all got some families to attend to today. Today I got bringing another guest on the show. He was on the show prior before. His name is Richard Jones. We started talking about the Ferguson case, and we actually got cut off. He was saying making some pretty good points. Not really, but he was talking about it in a positive way, talking about how it shouldn't really be a race issue. It should just be, you know, issue about a cop killing a man. But also, I got former Miami Hurricane and also Texas Tech Red Raider. His name he's a former defensive lineman. His name is Chris Perry. He's gonna call in. I just got a text message from him a while ago. He's gonna call in. He's just getting off of work, so he's gonna call in as soon as he gets some time to get around some peace and quiet. But right now on the line, I do got my homie straight up out of Lamarck, Texas, right outside of Houston. Played in the D League. A few games to play with Texas Tech, Red Raiders. Had him on the show just the other day. His name is Richard Jones. Richard Jones, what's up, man?
PDP, what's good, man?
Oh, not much, man. Just trying to maintain, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? How has your day been going today so far, man?
Oh, man, good. You know, I can't complain. I'm rejoicing in this day that the Lord has made.
Yeah, I know that's right, man. It's a pretty day out here today in the LBK, ain't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, man, it's a great day to get better, whether somebody needs to be training or what. You know, they ain't got no excuses today, do they?
No, they don't.
No.
Everybody know with Thanksgiving being here, you know what I'm saying, everybody trying to burn a few extra calories, you know, so they can really go out and eat some more.
Yeah, go out there and eat. So be like, I'm gonna go ahead and run an extra lap, or maybe do an extra 20 crunches or extra 20 push-ups, so I can go ahead and eat an extra turkey leg. Yeah. That's cool, man. That's cool. But before we get into it, Rich, I got something that's been really burning on my chest, man. I was thinking about it last night as I was really sitting there doing some really thinking and going into deep thought, and I was thinking of, man, dude, there are, like, most athletes that usually go D1 who usually sign scholarships. Some are fortunate to sign scholarships and play two sports in the collegiate sports, but majority of times most people only be able to come to school and play one sport. They're very seldom do we got a Deion Sanders, or do we got a Bo Jackson. There's a few other guys out there or have that extreme talent like a Kobe Bryant, a Kevin Garnett, who can go straight from high school into the professional level. But more, 9 times out of 10, you have those athletes that are really talented in high school who plays football, basketball, baseball, runs track. I mean, they can do it all. So a majority of times you see athletes out there who's good in particular sport. And one guy who really comes to mind now, who made a really big impact on the Texas Tech football field, was Michael Crabtree. He was here to play football, but he also was going to play basketball. But he had a superb football career, so he decided not to play basketball, which right now he's playing for the 49ers, so I would take it that's a good choice. But the point I'm trying to make is there are some kids out there in that football season right now who their coach is pressuring them, who's in the football right now, who's pressuring them not to play, you know, maybe football or baseball out there. So that dude really don't understand or don't really know. It's like, I want to make it to the next level. He could be the first person in his family you know, to have a chance to get a Division I scholarship. So like he's going through the season, you know, thinking, okay, I got to get the scholarship, but I really want to play basketball. Should I play basketball even though I'm about to get a football scholarship? You know, is it going to take away from my recruiting? Or if I get hurt, are they going to take away the scholarship? You know, there's a lot of things that goes into it. So for the athlete out there who's thinking about playing a second or third sport in their high school career, whenever they already got offers, do whatever it is that you want to do. Because I remember coming up, I had scholarships in football, I had scholarships in baseball. But ultimately, I feel like my best sport was basketball. But I didn't play basketball in high school due to the fact that I let some outside sources come in telling me, well, you know, you're not even 6 foot, so why are you even going to play? You know what I mean? So it's like they killing dreams before they even start. So I ended up getting a football scholarship, and now they're telling me, well, you shouldn't play baseball because you're not going to get a scholarship in baseball. You already got one in football. So, like, I had a few conversations with my little brothers because they was in the same predicament I was. So I want to share what the world is. Well, first, Rich, I want to get your intake on what would you tell that athlete right now who is talented in more than one sport and just kind of confused on what they should do?
Man, honestly, like, I see both point of views, you know what I'm saying? But there's, like, some things that you have to take into consideration for the simple fact. Like, say you're a very good running back. You're real cold at running back. You know what I'm saying? And say you about 6 foot, you know what I'm saying, and some change. But you can hoop as well. But say you play the three, you know what I'm saying? And so basketball season come around. You're good at basketball, you know what I'm saying, but can you actually make it to the next level? Do you see yourself making it to the next level? Are you willing to take that risk and get injured playing basketball, you know what I'm saying, and knowing whenever you're really great at playing football, like you're a great running back, one of the top running backs in the country, but yet basketball, you're just, because you love the game, but like, do you really see yourself like making it to the NBA? Is it possible? You know, and think about it, man, like in the league, them boys, they tall, you know what I'm saying? Like they tall. And knowing coaches and how they work, man, you know, it's so many politics. And are you really willing to risk getting injured playing that second sport whenever you already have that scholarship, you know what I'm saying? But me on the other hand, like I play, of course, like I had just committed to Tech and signed with Tech. And I was going into my senior year, and I wanted to play basketball, but Coach Ruff and McNeil he didn't think that it'd be a good idea for me to play basketball because I was gonna risk getting injured. Now, I wasn't a great basketball player, but I was on varsity, you know what I'm saying, and I was an asset to my team, you know what I'm saying. But I was 6'1", 250, 255, and I played like the three. You know what I'm saying? At first, I was too big to play like any other position, and I was too small to play a big man. So, you know, was it really worth it? You know, so I didn't play, you know what I'm saying? And at the same time, I regretted not doing it because, like, there's, like, it's communion, like, and fellowship, you know what I'm saying? Like, in brotherhood with your teammates, and you just want to be a part of that, you know what I mean? And I felt like that may have took away from that, but I wasn't going to make it in basketball. But let's be real. Football was my main sport. Football was my meal ticket, so I focused on that, you know, but who knows? I mean, like now, with me understanding that God's plan like cannot be thwarted, like if it's in God's will for me to not get injured, then I won't get hurt. You know what I'm saying? So, if God's will is for that person to go and play, like if they know for sure, like God told me, like look, you going here, like this is where you gonna play ball, you got scholarships, etc. You know what I'm saying? Then go for it. You know what I'm saying? Because no weapon formed against you will prosper. You know, so you just got to take into consideration, man, like the things that can happen. But I would say go for it, me personally, man, like because it's fun. Like you only play high school, you only live in high school once, man. Like you only get that opportunity once. I feel like it's a once in a lifetime opportunity, man. So just go get it. But you are risking injury, you know. You are risking. Now, if a coach was to tell you, like if you were signed to this, if you had committed to this school, and the coach told you not to play, you go and play, like, you got to know, like, these coaches are, like, he don't listen. Like, they already got this.
Right.
Like, this they feel like they know you. Okay, if he don't listen to me now, what makes you think he don't listen to me when he comes in? And so they already got a bad, like,
vibe,
judgment on who you are. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
That's why I didn't play, because, like, Coach Ruff hit me with that loyalty stuff, and so I was like, dang, okay, so I'm not going to do it. You know, so it depends, man. It's up to you.
I completely agree. But see, and in your situation, you had your college coach already telling you, you know, not to play. You know what I mean? I feel like that's different. I feel like so that's when you really got to have a long conversation with yourself and be like, you know what? And just from hearing your story, I feel like that'll make me even more hungrier. You know, to go next to that next level in college. You know, that would have, I think, that would have made it easy for me to put down the basketball. You know what I mean? And just wait for football. And like my college coach would have been like, "Yo, you know, loyalty thing. You already part of the team. Just wait it out." You know what I mean? But majority of times, sometimes it'd be the high school coach, or it could be their uncle. Or it could be, you know, it could be your best friend. It could be your brother. You know, it could come from any different angles that it could come from any different angles of somebody in your ear, because everybody can tell you how to do it, but nobody has done it.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm getting at. And you really hit some valid points, man. Like, you great in one sport, but you good in another. You know, but so it's really up to you. If you really want to continue in that sport that you're good at, long as you feel like it's not going to take away something that you're great at. Well, all right, we're going to postpone that. We just had Chris Perry call in on the show. He's a former Miami Hurricane and former Texas Tech Red Raider defensive lineman. Straight up out of the DF Dub, this guy's right on the line. What up, Mr. Chris Perry?
Hey, what's going on, Pete? Yeah. How you doing, man?
Oh, not much, man. Hey, you kind of sound like shit. I done semi-introduced you, man. We're gone. If the floor is yours, go ahead and introduce yourself right now.
I graduated high school 2007. I went to the University of Miami for my freshman year. Or my freshman season, and then after my freshman season, I decided that I wanted to get closer to home. So I ended up choosing Texas Tech over OU and University of North Texas. I was at Texas Tech 2 years with Mike Leach. I was there 2 years with Tommy Tuberville. I wouldn't say my career went the way that I wanted to, you know, but it's not really a talent thing. It was more just the way the cards were dealt or whatever, so I went on and I stayed at Texas Tech after my football career was over. I took a year off, came home, got my mind right, really, because the whole football ordeal kind of put me in a different place mentally and all that stuff. So I eventually went back to Texas Tech, finished, I think, 15 more hours, and now I just got my last 3 hours left. And right now I'm just doing the whole 9-to-5, staying afloat. I got married in August of 2013, so I'm enjoying the married life almost. It'll be 2 years. It's coming up August, whatever. We just celebrated our 1 year. And, I mean, basically, as of now, I'm going out to Green Bay. February 11th is when we start. Oh, excuse me. I'm going to the Green Bay Blizzard in the IFL. But February 11th is when we start camp, and I believe the season starts on March 1st. So that's really what I'm doing. I'm not going to let my college career kind of determine what's going on in the future, and I'm going to just move up level to level, you know.
Oh, man, that's what's up. Much respect right there. And first of all, I want to say congratulations on your marriage. I love to see black men out there doing positive things. And, you know, we already have this stereotype and criteria that, you know, we're bad influences on the community and we really don't do anything positive. And just so you guys know, I got two people on the line right now that are married. They are married. So congratulations to these brothers out there, man. So you say you college football kind of did something to you mentally. So that's a lot of things that most athletes don't know coming up out of high school going into college. And a lot of athletes that's in college don't really know how to cope and deal with the things like the politics. Just like you said, it's not really a talent issue. It's kind of the way the cards was dealt, you know. Just like everything kind of happens for a reason. But I want to just kind of touch on that a little bit of how you kind of – got through it. And what's up, like, what could you tell that 17 to 18 year old dude that's about to go to college next year and play sports and is going to finally get thrown into a whirlwind of politics and, you know, socially, academically, you know, just practically chaos. So man, touch on that a little bit, man.
Well, I mean, like, the whole college ordeal, messing with my inner peace and all that, it really started before I even got to college. It started off in my childhood or whatever. Like, I wouldn't say it was just a really bad childhood, but I didn't really grow up feeling like I belonged to anyone or anything. So when football came along, I noticed that people started coming in closer to me. People started making me feel a way that I hadn't felt my whole life, and I really liked this. So for the longest, I didn't even enjoy football. I just enjoyed what it was bringing to me off the field. So I really just stuck with football, and eventually where I messed up is I identified myself as the football player. I let the sport identify me instead of being, I'm Chris and I happen to play football. So when football was taken away from me, what, you know, if football is what identifies you and it's taken away from you, what else do you have to identify yourself? You don't even know who you are anymore because you're not the football player anymore. So that it made me shut down. It really did make me shut down. And I swear, there'd be days I'd lay off in a bedroom for like 3 days in a row, no lights on, just pitch black. It really had me messed up. And I really just had to learn and look back on stuff because we had a James Willis, he came in, and he was our defensive coordinator. He came in from Alabama. He came in for a season. And one of the things that he told us that I ended up having to really look back on and really just think about is he told us, once you can separate football from real life, that's when you'll be better at both. And, I mean, that's really what I had to do. I really kind of just had to step off and find the things that I like and really just figure out who's really in my corner, who really loves me, who really cares about me, and go from there. Like, I'm very content with my life. At a point, it was I had over hundreds of friends, like, just pick up a phone and whatever, and now I literally got four friends, you know what I mean? So
yes, sir.
I'm in a better place, though. There's no wondering what everybody's doing or why ain't nobody hit me up. I'm completely content with it. So, I mean, I'm not where I want to be as far as my inner peace, but I'm better off than what I was my last probably couple years at Texas Tech playing football. So for, like, the young kids going in with all the politics, really just figure out who you are before you get there, just so, like, if anything doesn't go your way, you know that you've got a plan. You already know your grades are good. You already know that football's not given, and you can't, at the end of the day, you can't control nobody else but yourself. So it's like you really just got to make sure you got a clean mindset and clean habits when you get to college and stick with it.
Wow. Hey,
man. Because I know CP, man. Like, you know, I chopped it up with CP a little bit, man, and CP, man, I just want to say I'm proud of you, bro. Just hearing your story like that, man, I can actually see how much you've grown, man. And I'm proud of you, man. And just keep fighting, man. Keep pushing. You know, don't let no man tell you you can't do it, man. You know what I'm saying? The only thing that matters is what God says, man. And if God said he gonna do it, then you gonna do it. So just keep pushing, man. And I believe in you. I know you can play. I believe you can play on the next level, man. And bro, I'm real proud of you, man. You definitely growing up.
Wow, that's what's up. Hey, man, that's some great encouraging words from both of you guys, man. Two married men right here, two former Texas Tech Red Raiders right here, giving you real life, real stuff that you can't get anywhere else. You know what I mean? So shout out to you, Chris Perry, man. I want to tell you to keep going, you know, because you hit the nail right on the nose, man. I'm really glad that football coach came in from Alabama, really spoke to you and said, once you learn how to separate football and real life, then that's when you'll get better at both. And I can tell just from listening to your story that you got some great things in store for you and continue to soar. But right now, you guys, I got somebody that's calling in right now that's going to bless the show. His name is Mr. Avi. He's going to come in, give us an encouraged message right now. And I'm going to let him give him the floor just for a couple minutes so he can give you guys some positive some positive wisdom, some positive seeds, and go ahead and plant it in real quick. Mr. Avi, you there?
I'm here, man. How you doing?
Oh, man, I'm doing great. Just listening to these guys' stories, man, just getting uplifted right now. So the floor is yours, man.
All right. Well, real quickly, I'm not going to take long at all. We all know what's happened in the last, I guess, day and a half, 2 days. So with the verdict that the grand jury gave about the Michael Brown situation, and one of the words after my anger, after my tears fell, a word that came in my heart and in my spirit was forgiveness. Forgiveness. And I got a quote here that I want to read to you by Lewis B. Smeads, I think is his last name. And it says, when we forgive evil, we do not excuse it. We do not tolerate it. We do not smother it. We look the evil full in the face, call it what it is, let its horror shock and stun and enrage us, and only then do we forgive it. I read another quote about forgiveness, and it talked about how forgiveness is like setting a prisoner free, and you realize once you forgive that that prisoner was you. And forgiveness is one of those things that, you know, I cannot forget who I am as a Christian, as a believer, but I also can't forget who I am as an African-American male. And there's no way that I'm going to go through the whole struggle or even list those things. But there's a stack of cards that we've been dealt being African-American men. And we have a choice, men and women, boys and girls, anybody that's been discriminated against. We have a choice. Either we can forgive or we can hang on to the bad, the injustices, the discrimination, whatever has hurt us, whatever has harmed us, we can hold on to that and be prisoners by it. And the only thing that we're doing when we hold on to those bad emotions is keeping ourselves in a prison and ultimately affecting the generations behind us. When we look at what's going on with Ferguson, I agree to anybody that's mad. You know, I've read, of course, Facebook and Twitter is full of people on both sides of the equation giving their opinion, and nothing is wrong with being mad. Nothing is wrong with being angry. Nothing is wrong with not understanding. Nothing is wrong with asking questions. But when we don't allow forgiveness to set in our hearts, is when we, as especially as an African American people, will find ourselves not advancing but going back. And we don't have to go over the whole long list and history of what's happened to us as African-Americans. But if we never move beyond that and forgive, then we'll find ourselves just perpetuating this whole cycle. And so my word to you today is forgive. Forgive this situation, as hard as it might be, and then whatever else in your life is going on that's hurt you and that's harmed you, forgive it. Don't be a prisoner. Set yourself free.
Ooh wee, I heard Mr. Ivy right there. He said, don't be a prisoner, set yourself free. That's what I'm talking about, Mr. Ivy. That's some great words of encouragement right there. And yes, we all know what's going on right now in the Ferguson case, but y'all heard him right there. He said, no matter what's going on, don't be a prisoner. Sometimes the prisoner could be you. Set yourself free. Always forgive. That's what I'm talking about, Mr. Ivy. Well, all right, Mr. Ivy, I want to say thanks, and I want you to have a great Thanksgiving. We're going to be off tomorrow, but I touch base with you on Friday, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, man. You have a blessed day. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, you guys. That was Mr. Stephen Ivey. He's a youth minister straight up out of Arkansas. And if you guys just are tuning in, this is Pete Richardson, owner and sole creator of Saving Athletes Respectfully. I got two really good friends of mine on the line. I got Chris Perry, former Miami Hurricane, also former Texas Tech Red Raider, and also got a really good friend, former Texas Tech Red Raider, Richard Jones. And before Mr. Ivey came on, me and Mr. Jones were talking about decision makings. If you're a senior in high school, if you're playing numerous amount of sports and trying to go forth in either or, if you got a scholarship in if you got a scholarship in football, do you want to go on and play basketball? Or, you know, do you just not play basketball at all? And then Chris Perry got on the line and started giving his story. And what an amazing story of him talking about his childhood and how he was brought up and how he just kind of let football kind of be his identity. And how he basically an influence came in. One of his coaches from Alabama told him once he can separate football and life, that's when he'll start to be better at both. So that's a little bit of what's going on right now. Well, all right, you guys, you still hanging out with me?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, man, that's good, that's good, that's good. All right, Mr. Perry, all right, what would you tell that athlete that, you know, he's finally went through college right now, he went to his freshman, sophomore, junior year, and now he's about to get ready and go ahead and start, you know, looking for something professionally, start thinking about, like, something like, do he pursue, like, just keep playing sports maybe, or do he just go ahead and try to find climb the corporate ladder, you know. So how could you help that senior that's getting ready to graduate and help his mindset and try to succeed and look for what the next step in life could be? That's for you, Chris.
I mean, when I look back on college is kind of like a slate, and on that slate you can add stamps to it. And so, like, when I look back on my whole college experience, and I feel like what I didn't take advantage of was the fact that you've got, when you go to college, not only when you come out, you have a degree, so you're a college graduate. You finish playing football, so you're a former student athlete. But then, along with that, you can also go join a fraternity. That's another stamp. You can go join clubs, the African American Student Society. That's another stamp. That's another stamp. So when I look back on it, I'd say just going through college, get as many stamps and tools in your toolbox that you can while you have access to it. Like, I mean, if you can go get you an internship in the spring after your senior year of football, like, go get you an internship. Go get you, like, if you want to do maybe some engineering, if sports don't go through, go get you an internship in or whatever, because, I mean, at the end of the day, they're going to want to help an athlete out. And so use that to your advantage, like, Go find ways to make money off the field, because at the end of the day, I'll take making $200,000 for the rest of my life than taking $2 million for the next 4 years. You know what I mean? So it's like that's the opportunity, and college really gives you the opportunity to live like a prince forever instead of a king for 2 years. And I feel like that's what a lot of people need to start taking advantage of.
Ooh, Rich, did you hear that?
Hey, that's
deep, ain't it, man? I like the words of encouragement there, Mr. Perry. All right, Rich. I mean, do you pretty much agree with Chris, or like the same way? Because I think I pretty much do. You know, get as many steps as you can. Like he said, get as many tools in the toolbox as you can, because and find more ways to make money outside of football. Because it's better to live like what'd you say, a king for the rest of your life and make $200,000 than live for a king for the next 4 years and make $2 million. Man, that's some really good. That's some really good points.
Right there,
Chris.
For the rest of my life. Exactly.
Oh, there we go. Live like a prince for the rest of my life. Well, all right, Will Smith. I hear you. No, man. Well, all right, Richard. Your turn. You pretty much feel the same way?
Man, I have nothing to add to that. He hit it right on the nail.
Yeah. I know. That's right. Right on the nail. Well, all right, Chris. Go ahead and let the people know how they can follow you, how they can keep up with you, because we know we got some. I got majority of Red Raider fans that listen to my show that likes to keep up with us, Red Raiders. You know what I'm saying? So, go let the people know how they can keep up with you and. Let people know how they can stay in touch with you whenever you go and play at Green Bay in March.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. They can find me on Facebook under Clyde Flex, or they can find me on Twitter at under my name, Chris Perry, swanging and banging. Swang, letter N, bang, the letter N, and that's how they'll find me on there. They can follow, I guess, the Green Bay Blizzard Twitter page at the IFL Green Bay Blizzard. And besides that, I mean, hell, hopefully I'll be on somebody's TV screen pretty soon. If not, it is what it is.
Yeah, if not, you're going to be good either way it go, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I like that. Well, all right, Mr. Perry, I ain't going to take up too much of your time. Well, you go ahead and have a great day, okay?
Most definitely. Y'all have a great day, too. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on, man.
Most definitely. Anytime.
All right, cool. Well, all right, that was Chris Perry, former Miami Hurricane, turned Texas Tech Red Raider, man. If you guys heard that story, I hope you guys can learn from it in any shape or any which shape or form, because that guy right there, he's the epitome of a guy who comes in, works hard. I had him in a few classes, but we all like to have fun. He's a comedic kind of guy. You know, he's a guy who's going to keep you laughing. He's the guy, if you're having a bad day, he's going to say something that's going to make you laugh. I can make sure of that. Or he might just come over and mess with you. So it's great to hear the great things that he's doing, congratulating him on his marriage and thus far, and wish him nothing but the best. And on the line, I still got my man Richard Jones, and we're going to speak on a few things like we're speaking on right before Chris had called. We were talking about an athlete playing multiple sports in high school and what to do. And if I could say something to a high school student right now, and he has a football scholarship but wants to play basketball or baseball, this is what I do. I tell you, man, sit down, spend some time with yourself, by yourself, and think about what it is. Think about what it is that you truly love to do. Do you love the sport that you're going to that you got a scholarship in, or do you really love the sport that you don't got a scholarship in? But what I tell you, the person telling you not to play, look at them in the eye and think about, is this person going to be, am I going to talk to this person 10 years from now? Look them in the eye.
Also, to add to that, man, like, even if you decide, and I say it was the other way around, it was a Hooper playing football, you know what I'm saying? Think about
right.
it. Look at Jimmy Graham and Antonio Gates. They both played basketball in college, you know what I'm saying? Didn't touch a college football field. But look at them. They both playing pro in the NFL and two of the top, like two of the greatest tight ends to play the game. So just because you decide not to play in high school don't mean it's the end of your dream.
Right, that's true. Just because you don't decide to play in high school don't mean that's the end of the dream. That's a great point right there. So what that boils down to is everything happens for a reason. Whether you decide to play or whether you decide not to doesn't really mean it's the end of it, because we have a lot of people, we have a lot of football players who converted from defensive lineman to linebacker, or linebacker going into defensive lineman, you know, after they get through playing, just like Chris Perry said, he's not going to let his collegiate career influence the rest of his life, which means is that he's not going to continue to try to play, because we see it time and time again from Miami, from Florida State, from most of those teams over in the SEC. They might not play whenever they're in college, but then they still end up getting drafted and being beneficial to the NFL, you know what I mean? So it's just because things not working out your way right then and there doesn't mean you should give up, because you can't fail until you quit. You know what I mean? So what I would tell an athlete out there, you know, spend some time with yourself, think about self, by yourself, and then just think about that person telling you, are you going to talk to them 10 years from now, or is that person just really trying to benefit from you? Most of your friends just want to pay off. Some of your people just want you to make it just so you can bomb something. Some of your coaches just want you to play just so they can have a possibility of winning a state championship that year. So you got to really think about it by yourself, for yourself, and think about what it is that you really want to do. If you really want to play, then play. If you don't want to play, then don't. If you don't want to put yourself in that predicament, then don't do it. If you feel like you're going to regret it, then go ahead and do it, because in 20 years, you're going to regret the things that you didn't do besides the things that you did. So it's really up to you. Well, all right, Mr. Jones. So what we were talking about last time, we were speaking on that Ferguson case a little bit, where you were talking about your wife and like her nationality and everything, talking about your nationality. And you just like, you feel like, you know, they're being disrespectful, like people, and I'm not talking about which race, but just people were just being disrespectful. And then people were talking about white people, you would think they were talking bad about your wife. And then, you know, I feel the same way. I bet you, you know, your wife will feel the same way about, like, when white people will talk about black people, she probably felt like she's being disrespected, because, you know what, my lady is mixed with white, and I feel disrespected. You know what I'm saying? So it's almost like, you know, with interracial relationships, it's almost like we like stuck in the middle, but in between the all black people then the all white people, and it's almost like we're stuck in the middle, and it's like we can't get the fighting to stop. You know what I mean? So go ahead and let the audience know, like how you feel about this incident that's going on, and it's like why we gotta label ourselves as white and black? Why we just can't just be people?
Man, basically, man, like I just, like I said yesterday, man, like I just, I hate the fact that it's a race thing. And even today I was just on Facebook just reading posts and just think about it, like the media, like they have so much power, like to make us think and believe certain things, and they have the power to turn us against one another, you know what I'm saying, because we're going to believe whatever we see on TV because we think that they're a credible source. But when
right.
In all actuality, man, like, notice every time they say something, like, they always say Darren Collison, the white officer, they make it known that he's white, kills unarmed black teen, you know what I'm saying? Like, why couldn't it be officer kills an unarmed teen, you know what I'm saying? Why can't it be like that? But no, they make it clear that it's a white versus a white, where's a white versus a black man, like, type of thing, man, and I don't like that. And I just think, man, that we just have to learn how to come together, man, like as one, man, come as Americans, like, or human beings in general, like we are human, man, and like we just have to be careful with what we say and how we speak, man, because like for me, for example, like I'm a Christian, you know, I'm a believer, I'm a follower of Christ, and I can't like just post stuff on there, man, like I don't like white people this and that, you know what I'm saying, because what I say represents Christ, man, and basically, like, what I'm saying is I represent Christ, not a white culture or a black culture, and our actions, the words that we speak should represent Christ, man, you know what I'm saying? And that's what it should be, man, and, like, just seeing, like, a lot of believers, like, just post certain things, you know, like, it hurts, you know, because we're supposed to love one another, man, like, that's one of the greatest commandments, you know what I'm saying, to love our neighbor as our own, man, and I know it's hurt, like, I can't imagine what the family going through, but If the family of the man who was killed is saying, like, violence and stuff is not going to solve anything and to stop all this looting and all this stuff, then what justice are you really – like, you're hurting the family even more. You're causing more damage. Like, you think that looting is stealing all this stuff and setting stuff on fire is making things better when it's actually making them look worse. Like, you feel me? Like doing that, they're hurting their community even more. Burning down buildings. Okay, you burn down the old Raleigh's. So let's say – couple of weeks from now, you need an auto part. You can't go there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's causing economical damage. It's just all this stuff, man. Like, they're making it worse, not better. Like, violence is not going to solve anything.
Yeah, violence is not going to solve anything. Violence is never the answer, you know. And besides, you know, when we get to wars and stuff, of course I commend our army, you know, to going over them doing what they do and protecting us. But over here in the civilian world, you know, violence is not the answer. An eye for an eye leaves the world blind, and you know, a tooth for a tooth leaves us all hurt. You know what I mean? So we are, love conquers all. We all just need to get together. If Martin Luther King was here, man, you know, Martin Luther King, I don't feel like he would let any of this stuff happen, even though back then stuff did happen. You know, there was some violent protests. But ultimately, at the end of the day, when things finally blew over and all the smoke cleared, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, was the one who was the fourth runner of the civil rights movement, and that's why black people was able to go ahead and get our rights and vote, and it seems like we need to go ahead and take over, you know, our voting communities and everything. You hear me? Well, all right, Richard, I really like what you had to say. That's going to be the conclusion of the show right there. Got to go ahead and go pay some bills. So, all right, Rich, I want to say thanks for being on my show, my man, and I'm going to have to get you on again, and I'm going to have to shoot you a text with my email so I can get some more music. You know what I'm talking about?
All right, cool. Do that, man. Do that. Appreciate you having me on the show.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. You have a wonderful day. Tell your wife I said what's up.
All right, will do. You too.
All right, cool. That was Richard Zone, straight up out of Lamarck, Texas, former Texas Tech Red Raider. Hope you guys really enjoyed what he had to say. What he said is just love conquers all. And why you over, and for the Ferguson people over there in Ferguson, why you over there, you know, rioting and looting and burning up old Raleigh's when 2 weeks from now, what if you need to get your car fixed and you can't go get your car fixed? So, you know, chill out. You want some pizza, you haven't burned down a Little Caesars. Now you can't go get a $5 pizza. Now you got to go spend $10 to $15 at Pizza Hut. So, hey, so who are you really hurting? Okay, then. So, like, with that being said, chill out, man. Take a chill pill. Love conquers all. No matter what you've done or what you've been through, life's about making your dreams come true. And like my corner coach used to tell me, don't give them a reason to fire you. Don't give them a reason to arrest you. Don't give them a reason to detain you. So no matter what, man, just stay true to yourself. Stay true to your people. Stay true to your community. Then when some put your hands up, and someday if you still get attacked, you still get beat up, hey, you can still say, then you can look at my evidence. There's nothing about me that's saying that I didn't attack you. So that's just what it is. So I hope you guys enjoyed my show. P. Richardson, on the Soul Creative Saving Athletes respectfully. I hope you guys have a blessed day. Happy Thanksgiving! And don't forget to bring me some turkey. Nah, I'm just playing. Just like that. Have a blessed day, and I'm out.